Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Ace Atkins is the author of 14 novels, including Robert B. Parker's Cheap Shot, which is just published. In it, a player for the New England Patriots hires Boston PI Spencer to locate his kidnapped son. A former journalist who cut his teeth as a crime reporter in the newsroom of the Tampa Tribune, Ace Atkins published his first novel, Crossroad Blues, at 27 and became a full-time novelist at 30. Then in 2011, he was chosen by the Robert B. Parker Estate to continue the best-selling adventures of Boston's iconic private eye, Spencer. His first novel in the series was Lullaby and then Wonderland. And now, as I mentioned, comes Robert B. Parker's Cheap Shot. It's great pleasure to welcome Ace Atkins back to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Always good to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
It's very nice to have you here. What brought you to the world of football in this particular novel?
Well, you know, Bob Parker was such a famous lover of baseball, and he knew so much about baseball, you know, going back to one of his favorite teams with the Brooklyn Dodgers and the early days of the Red Sox and the Boston Braves. And, you know, I love baseball and I follow baseball, but really my forte is more with football. And Parker had done some just wonderful novels around the world of sports. I mean, he was definitely, you know, an athletic-minded guy, and he loved sports. He loved Boston sports. And so I thought maybe I could bring something new to the table with the Spencer series and have him do something that Mr. Parker never did, which is to tell a story about a football team and a football program and write about the NFL. And I felt very comfortable doing that.
If I remember correctly, he wrote about the Boston Red Sox. Was it Mortal Stakes?
It was Mortal Stakes. And then he wrote about college basketball, which he loved as well, in Playmates. But
right.
He never had the football book. You know, at this point, I did feel very comfortable because my dad actually had worked for the NFL for over 30 years. And so I grew up around NFL franchises and really kind of got a sense of those teams and the players and that kind of thing. And that was fun to be able to incorporate that into a book.
Your dad was an NFL coach.
He was. He was a player. He was a terrific player. I played in college, but I was not drafted. I was not asked beyond my days at Auburn University to continue that. But my dad was just an outstanding athlete, was a all-pro defensive back. He was on the very first team for the Buffalo Bills, but he also played for the 49ers and several other teams. And so I grew up around that when he got into coaching.
Did that open some doors for you to get the information that you needed and perhaps information that you needed particularly regarding the Patriots?
You know, the way it really worked, I did know some people that still had some connections with the NFL through connections to my dad, and then also have a very good buddy of mine, a guy named Tim Green, who's also an author and had played the NFL for 8 years. But it really was a lot easier. When I knew I was going to be writing a book about the Patriots, I talked to the great Joan Parker, and Joan made a couple phone calls, and before I knew it, I was flying up to Boston, and I was at Gillette Stadium meeting with the front office. So that was the kind of power that Joan Parker wielded in the Boston area, was people listened to her. And so that's how I got in with them, and they were just terrific. They opened the doors and hung out at Gillette one day, had a fantastic time seeing all the facilities and, you know, got to see, you know, the weight rooms. And because that's really where the nerve center is for the Patriots. It's one-stop shopping. They do training camp there. They have the front offices there. They've got, of course, the main stadium there. So I wanted to see the whole operation, and it was a very interesting and certainly helped me form the basis of this book.
It should be mentioned that Bob Kraft was a huge Spencer fan.
That's right. You know, I think it made a difference. I think that was one of the things, because, you know, when I first came in and I was talking to people in the front office and I was trying to explain to them, I said, well, you know, I'm an author or whatever. Something was mentioned about Mr. Kraft said, you know, whatever you want. And that's really the way they treated me. And I think that not only the connection that Joan Parker made, but also having Bob Kraft as a fan of Spencer certainly did not hurt.
He paid money to be in a novel once,
didn't
he?
That's right. I think he paid paid a lot of money. I think he paid like 10 grand or something to be mentioned in a Spencer novel. And, he's mentioned several times in Cheap Shot, but, I didn't get any money.
No.
So, I'm waiting for that check.
Didn't get the payoff. Yeah. I think what's interesting, I mean, what makes the series so much fun, I think one of the things that makes the series so much fun is that it takes place in Boston. And that team is such a Boston team, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that depending on who you talk to, but most people tell you, the Sox come first, but then depending on where your allegiances fall. I mean, it's a big, crazy sports city. I mean, there's nowhere I think that's like it as far as where sports is, an all year round obsession. When you're going off the Sox, you're moving on to the Patriots and the Bruins and the Celtics. I mean, it is a sports obsessed city. And hopefully I captured kind of a feel of that in the novel because of the obsession that is gone even bigger these days where, you've got athletes that are on Twitter and people are following them and there's almost no need of a press agent. But also in Boston, the sports media is such a powerful thing in Boston. And the jockeying of positions of the guys who run those talk shows have so much power in the city. And so I hopefully captured the feel of that environment as well, which is, I think, something that's relatively new.
When it comes to the actual story of this player who wants Spencer to investigate the kidnapping of his son, you get into a lot of different areas. Obviously, there's the sports world, but there's also the celebrity of it and what can be gained from kidnapping the son of a marquee player.
Yeah. I think, one of the things I was, of course, I'm influenced by not only, what I've growing up around the NFL and then just, seeing the modern day world around the Patriots. But, this is a crime novel. And I'm a big fan of, I was a longtime fan of Robert Parker's, but I'm a longtime fan of classic crime fiction. I'm a longtime fan of classic noir film. And one of my favorite all time movies is a movie called Ransom with Glenn Ford back from the 1950s. And it's by far really one of the best kidnapping movies ever made. I mean, it's just fantastic. So there's an element, I think, of Ransom that's sown throughout this, this Spencer novel that hopefully people will catch some of the homages to that wonderful film.
You're also starting to, this being your third Spencer novel, you're starting to add your own characters, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I am. I'm adding some characters I think we're going to see more. And you really, I guess you talk about to the really diehard fans, the people who have been with the Spencer series for years and they know it inside out, I never wanted to change anything as far as who Spencer was and the hallmarks of the series and the things that people come to expect. But I do hope with the subsequent novels that we're seeing a shakeup in the Spencer's greater world as far as, the criminal enterprises that are going on in Boston, just who some of the characters are, even with the character that Bob introduced in his very last novel, Zebulon Sixkill, this tough guy that there was no doubt that Bob was going to have him stick around for several more books. And I didn't want to keep that. I didn't want to break that. I didn't want to write something completely fresh and off. I wanted to continue that story thread that he was doing, but I'll also broaden out that world, that Spencer world. And, even characters that had been allies, are going to in future books become foes. And I like that. I like to see how that overall story arc is going to work. And I think readers enjoy that as well.
Not to mention Zebulon Sixkill is a hell of a name.
He's what now?
It's a hell of a name.
Yeah, exactly. Zebulon Sixkill. I was talking to a buddy of mine. We were talking about Sixkill was a well-known and a very talented college football player in the books. And I was trying to think about where Bob had gotten that idea. And a friend of mine mentioned, he said, well, Sonny Sixkiller. And Sonny Sixkiller was a very well-known, you may know this, a player that played at Washington back in the 1960s. And he was really the first Native American, famous college football players. And so I know that's what Bob Parker was thinking in forming the Zebulon Sixkill character. And of course, in the books, it's just easier to say Z. And so Z has become a major part of the new books that I'm working on.
It also seems like you have fun with the sports media as well.
I was doing a radio show the other day in Boston, and he said, the host, I was talking to Jordan Rich, who's very well known in that area. He said, I think I know who you're talking about as far as the two guys you're talking about and kind of having a little bit of fun with them. And I told him, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Any characters in this are completely fictional.
But it does show that players have to live their lives in a spotlight, obviously. Social social media is there, and it's kind of a 24/7 cycle.
It is. I mean, it's, you know, I go back to the days when, you know, I was a kid. And I talked about growing up around the NFL, and, you know, I used to work at the training camp as a boy, and, you know, seeing how that world worked with the players. And, you know, I remember, you know, going to football games, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, and seeing the athletes coming out to the game, and they would talk to the media, or the media would come in the locker room, and you gave your quotes, and you said, you know, all the cliches, you did the best you could possibly do, and then after that, you went on with your business. But what a world we have now where, you know, that's not even the important part. It depends on how many Twitter followers that you're having. It depends your presence on Facebook, and where athletes are not just making that canned comment of, you know, yeah, we tried our best, we just didn't score enough points today, that kind of thing. But it's jumped to where you have players that are attacking other players or criticizing their own coach. And, you know, the whole media system is within the palm of their hand. And, of course, I ended up turning a little bit with that whole idea where the kidnapping is somewhat in the palm of the hand of the kidnappers. And it's a two-way radio that goes back and forth between Kenjo, whose son is kidnapped.
The book is endlessly entertaining. It is Cheap Shot, Robert B. Parker's Cheap Shot, a Spencer novel. It is by Ace Atkins and published by Putnam. Ace, it's always a pleasure. Congratulations, and thanks so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. It's always fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Robert B. Parker's Cheap Shot, a Spencer novel. It's published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.